You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to the Locked On MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. You can follow the show at Twitter at Locked On MLB, and you can follow me at Sully Baseball or on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. You can get Locked On MLB on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Podbean, Player FM. You're already listening to a podcast. You probably already know how to get a podcast. You can listen to us directly on the website Locked On MLB, and when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. And check out the other great shows on Locked On and get your team every day. Listen to the takes of local experts and the biggest stories. It's the fourth day of April 2019. And let me just say one thing right off the bat. I love day baseball on weekdays. It's the best. Yesterday we yacked about, talking about labor stuff and everything like that. Let's get down to it. This is the best when you have day baseball during the week. If I were the commissioner, and we should start a movement to try to get your buddy Sully to be the commissioner of baseball, because I've got some ideas. But one thing I would definitely do is make sure that every day there is at least one game being played at 1 o'clock Eastern time and one game being played at 1 o'clock West Coast time. Now, for me, out here on the West Coast, it's the best because we have games starting at like 9:30 in the morning. There was like a 12:30 start from Cincinnati the other day. Boom, 9:30 in the morning, there's baseball. Doesn't mean I'm watching it all day, but it means if you take a break, you got a 10-minute break here, you got a moment there, you check the score during the day. You can't do that in football. Hey, it's a Thursday afternoon. Are the Chargers playing? You can't do that in basketball. You do that in baseball. It's the best. Checking up on scores during the day. Nothing beats it. If you have to drive from here to there, you have a game on. And there were good games. The Tigers beat the Yankees again. Boyd struck out 13. Boy, the Yankees were supposed to really take advantage of a soft schedule. They're not. I can't really brag too much as a Red Sox fan because, you got two home runs from Grichik, and the Blue Jays won. You had the Kansas City Royals took a lead with a five-run inning against the Twins. The Twins came storming back to win in the ninth. And the Twins' magic number to clinch the AL Central is 154. That's also because Cleveland lost. Yoan Moncada, who was the big trade chip from the Red Sox to the White Sox in the Chris Sale deal, every time I check in on him, he's like 3-for-4 with a homer. And then you look at his stats at the end of the year, and he's batting .220. Hey, White Sox, pay me $1 million, and I'll watch every game. And Moncada will bat .750 for the year. But there was really, the Rockies and the Rays played an 11-inning game, of which the Rays left 900 men on base. And you had a 1-0 game between Milwaukee and the Reds. And then the strangest game, the 9-8 Nationals win in the bottom of the ninth with their errors and homers. And it ends on a bases-loaded walk, which drives me crazy. How can you lose a game on a bases-loaded walk? Just lob it down the middle of the plate. If your control is that bad, lob it down the heart of the plate. Because the worst thing that happens is a walk-off grand slam. But they could hit into a double play. They could pop it up, so it could make a diving catch. But when you walk with a bases loaded to end the game, to me, that's just the worst. And all of this happened, at least in California, before 4:30 in the afternoon. That's the best. It's the best. And you don't, I worked yesterday. I was at my job. Sadly, being the host of Locked On MLB doesn't pay all my bills.
Someday it will. But for now, I also have to work. And I wasn't sitting at my work looking at my phone going, no, hold on. I think McCutchen just cleared the bases with a double in the eighth inning. I wasn't doing that. But you check up on it. You check up on the scores. That's a fun thing to do. What do you do in football? Check up on the injury report? What do you check up on if you're an NBA fan, you check up on what argument the Warriors are having off the court? Games in the middle of the day. Ensure that there's at least two games being played every day during the afternoon. That's great for baseball. May not be great for productivity at your job, but it's pretty terrific. It's one of the things that makes baseball so great. One of the things that makes it so great, the Phillies finally lost, and they are now a 4-1 record. And of course, everything, by the time we're talking next week, records will have turned over so much, it's ridiculous to even talk about it this time. There is one aspect I do worry about. If you're a Cleveland Indian fan, and the Indians are off to a 2-3 start, they've lost two Corey Kluber starts. The Indians front office seems to be itching to start dumping salary and starting the rebuild. There were rumors that they were going to be dealing Kluber and dealing Bauer in the offseason. They wound up holding on to him because basically, by default, they are the favorite to win the AL Central. But if they continue to lose and a team like Minnesota continues to win, that may put Cleveland in a situation where they will start dangling Bauer and Kluber around. And I don't know. I personally think that'd be a shame if this group played as well as they did over the last bunch of years and failed to win a World Series. They came really close. And in fact, how close they got is partly the topic for the second segment of this podcast. And after the break, I'll talk about two people who celebrated birthdays yesterday who became really solid players, but almost became legends. Remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya and their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On MLB. All right, I know my mom is listening to this, so mom, just do me a favor and skip ahead a little bit. That'd be great. Thanks. All right, everybody else, let's talk about sex. Good, ready-to-go sex. Now, you can increase your performance and build up your confidence. Everyone but my mom, listen up. I'm talking about BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis, so you know they work. Take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach, while stuck in traffic after a Dodger game. I don't judge. They're chewable, and they work twice as fast as the pill, so you know you'll be ready quicker than a manager can make a pitching change. Now, everyone I know has tested it, and I have many trustworthy friends who confide with me very personal details. They all tell me it gives them a little extra, and it works great. Now, we baseball fans, we know all about getting a little edge with performance enhancers. And this isn't for people who can't perform. This is for anyone who wants something a little extra. Look, Blue Chew is prescribed online, ships to your door, discreet package, no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, no awkwardness. In fact, the only awkwardness involved in Blue Chew is knowing that my mom is probably still listening. Made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Now, right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. All of that just by going to BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Once again, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Try it for free. BlueChew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. Thank you for sponsoring the Locked On MLB podcast. All I forgot to mention that yesterday, the third day of April, was the birthday of two different players. Gary Pettis, who used to be the Gold Glove center fielder for the California Angels and for the Detroit Tigers, and also current Cleveland Indian Jason Kipnis. It was both of their birthdays yesterday. They're both solid players. May we all have the success in our life that five-time Gold Glove winner Gary Pettis had as a major leaguer, that two-time All-Star Jason Kipnis had currently as a major leaguer, and Gary Pettis has also become a very respected coach. But those two players are also connected in an unusual way, and how much the pendulum can swing that someone can go from a solid, respected player to an immortal legend. Gary Pettis, let's start with him. Gary Pettis almost became an immortal legend. In 1986, the Angels played the Red Sox. Now, if anyone remembers that series between the Angels and the Sox, they'll probably remember that was the Dave Henderson series. Dave Henderson, famously with the Red Sox, one strike away from elimination, hit the two-run home run off of Donnie Moore, and that led the Red Sox from down 3-1 in the series. They came back to win the series in seven games, and the Hendu home run was one of the great moments in ALCS history. I bet you forgot that that was not the game-winning RBI. The Angels came back to tie the game. The Dave Henderson game was nearly the Gary Pettis game. In the bottom of the 10th inning, with catcher Jerry Nairn on first base and two outs, Steve Crawford was pitching for the Red Sox. Crawford had wiggled out of the 9th inning with the pennant-winning run on third and one out. He somehow got out of that jam. But he got into another jam in the 10th with a runner on. And Crawford, who was almost left off the playoff roster, he had a rotten season that year with the Red Sox, faced Gary Pettis, who was having a terrific series that year. And Pettis hit a deep fly ball to left field, and it pinned Jim Rice to the wall. If it were a few feet higher, it would have cleared the wall. And Jim Rice, and believe me, you were probably not going to find a bigger Jim Rice fan than me, but Jim Rice was not the greatest defender at that point in his career. He probably should have been a designated hitter, but they had Don Baylor. If he didn't get to the ball fast enough, then that would have hit the wall, and chances are Nairn would have scored, and the Angels would have won the pennant. Pettis would have hit the home run that would have clinched the pennant. Henderson's home run would have been a mere footnote, something that is used to illustrate how great that game was, and it was a terrific game. But it would have been the Gary Pettis game. And the history of the Angels would have been totally different. Gene Autry, who founded the team, would have had a pennant under his watch. He never did. Gene Mauch, who never won a pennant despite coming painfully close with the Phillies in the 60s and the Angels in 82, would have gone to the World Series finally. And if Mauch had a pennant to his name, there would have been an interesting case for him to be a Hall of Fame manager. Reggie Jackson would have led the Angels to the World Series along with the A's and the Yankees. And Bobby Gritch, who had a wonderful career, I think potentially could be re-examined to be a Hall of Fame career. But he would have had his trip and his ticket punched to the World Series as well. And that Red Sox team would have been remembered as a team that made the playoffs, had a great year from Roger Clemens, but what are you going to do? They faced a buzzsaw with the Angels. And when you think about some of the players on that team, like, oh, Bill Buckner, remember him? Yeah, I remember Bill Buckner. He was a good player. Yeah, he nearly got 3,000 hits, was a batting champ. Nice, tough player, played hurt. Yeah, good old Billy Bucks. I forgot about him. Yeah, he's kind of an obscure player, but he was good. He was good. You see how our reputations, you see how people look at players based upon a moment or two here? Gary Pettis would have gone from, oh, I remember him. He was a good base stealer. Yeah, made great catches, to, oh my God, he hit the home run that sent the Angels to the World Series. A few inches higher or a little more to the left and right, that would have been the Gary Pettis game. As it was, even with that flyout, at the end of Game 5, Gary Pettis was batting .471 and an OPS of 1.256, which means with the big hit, he probably would have been the MVP of the series. That brings us to Jason Kipnis. There was already a great story building around Jason Kipnis and the Indians in the postseason of 2016. Kipnis, who slugged the snot out of the Red Sox in the sweep in the division series, was a native of Illinois, grew up rooting for the Cubs, and he had already homered a couple of times when the Indians and Cubs locked antlers in what turned out to be a classic World Series. And when the Indians tied the game on the Rajay Davis home run, which is one of the most dramatic home runs in the history of baseball, and Rajay Davis is one of those rare figures who gets to have his name attached to baseball lore, even though he was on the losing side of a particular game. I'd also say Endy Chavez with that catch in Game 7 of the NLCS between the Mets and the Cardinals are another example. But Davis hit that home run that was absolutely startling and tied the game in the eighth. The Indians wiggled out of trouble in the ninth, and then to the bottom of the ninth, a gassed Aroldis Chapman was still pitching. Rain clouds were coming. The Cubs and the Indians, the two most tortured franchises in baseball, were in danger of taking their series into extra innings in Game 7, and Mother Nature was going to have nothing of it. Now, you had Carlos Santana, the first baseman, not the guitarist, made the first out, and up came Kipnis. And Kipnis hit a deep drive to right field. Now, on closer examination, it probably would have been a double if it didn't hook foul. But it had real distance, and he got a huge chunk of it and drove it to right field. And off the bat, for a moment, I thought it was going to be one of those hug the line, hit the pole, Carlton Fisking it, which shows you what the legacy of a great player and a great moment can be in the postseason. I just turned Carlton Fisk into a verb. And Kipnis hit that drive. And I guarantee you, every Cub fan for that moment thought, oh God, no. Every Cleveland Indian fan thought, oh God, yes. And your pal Sully was watching it. And I was rooting for the Indians because I was such a Francona fan. And I hate Aroldis Chapman. That I was looking at going, oh my God, this is going to happen, isn't it? This is going to be the Jason Kipnis series. That Rajay Davis would be relegated to Bernie Carbo status, and he would get the Fisk status. You see, when you land that beautiful moment in postseason history, what it does to your legacy, I don't even have to explain to you what being Bernie Carbo to Carlton Fisk means. Instead, it hooked foul. Kipnis made an out. Lindor made an out. Rain delay. Extra innings. Ben Zobrist gets the big hit. Davis knocks in another run to make it a one-run game. But finally, they bring in someone named Mike Montgomery to clinch the World Series. Kipnis, if he stayed square on that swing, if he timed it a little bit earlier, a little bit whatever, if he timed it just perfectly, and he almost did, if he timed it just a little bit better, he certainly had the power, and Chapman had nothing left. And if that had left the yard, he hits the walk-off home run in the World Series, joining Mazeroski, joining Joe Carter. Two names who are immortals. A great fielding second baseman named Mazeroski is known as a power slugger for the rest of his life. A good but not great power hitter by the name of Joe Carter gets to be a legend. And Kipnis would have been in the same sentence. Would have been one of the probably would have been the moment in the history of Cleveland sports and one of the great moments of all time and rewritten the history of the Indians, wiping all of their torture in one swing of the bat and keeping alive all the torture for the Cubs to move on. And it would have been such a pin in the eye for Cubs fans because it would have been a Cub fan, someone who grew up a Cub fan, who drove the final nail into the coffin. It would have been poetic. And instead, it was a foul ball. And those two people who were on the verge of being legends, being immortals, had the same birthday, and instead have to carry the burden of, well, we were good and had really good careers, and the fans really like us. But they're not immortals. They almost were. And that's how fragile baseball history can be. Willie McCovey nearly hits a walk-off home run to win the World Series in 1962, but it hooks foul. Then he hits a line drive right at the second baseman, a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right. There would be no way they would have caught it. The tying and winning runs would have scored. That would have been the Willie McCovey game. It would have been one of the great moments in baseball history. But no, it broke that way. Meanwhile, Francisco Cabrera, the fourth string catcher of the Braves, gets to come off the bench, get a hit, and become one of the most beloved Braves on a team filled with Hall of Famers. The difference between an immortal and a good, solid, respected player is sometimes just a few inches. So a belated birthday to Gary Pettis and Jason Kipnis, two players who almost became immortal. Well, it looks like the Cardinals and the Padres are postponed, so I am not going to make a prediction involving the Padres and their first ever no-hitter in their history. I think they would have. I think it would have happened if there wasn't this rainout. So thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to this show in the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts and iTunes and help spread the word. And remember to check out the other baseball podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Until tomorrow, this is the Locked On MLB Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.